Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, your resource for growing the business and mindset for a life of unrestricted freedom. Now here's your host, online marketing acrobat, Danny Carlson.
What's up, guys? Danny Carlson here with the Danny Carlson Podcast, and I have across from me the man, the myth, the legend. This guy has sold two businesses, and I think this is a good place to start. The people listening, they've just heard a little bit of your intro and why you're really awesome. I think going into the story of what were those first two businesses that you sold and what was that journey like? Like, were those your first businesses that you started and you just ended up selling them just by virtue of how you built them, or how did that go?
Oh man. Well, first off, thanks for having me on, dude. This will be fun. Yes, of course, dude. My first two businesses were complete successes. I sold them for massive exits. I'm rich and I never have to do anything again for my life.
Boom.
End a podcast. I wish that's how it went. No, actually, it's a great question. So it's actually, I grew up on a farm. And so my first business was actually in farming. After I graduated high school, I was like, screw college. I'm not going to college. Like, school sucks. And so I actually started a farming business with my neighbor because we lived in the country. I literally grew up on a farm. And so I worked that for about a year and a half before we ran out of money. Turns out his, like, long story short, I mean, in a farm community, like, you don't have contracts. Like, you just, you know, shake of hand, take people at their word type deal. His wife ended up, my business partner's wife ended up divorcing him and selling all the farm equipment out from underneath us. So I went from like expecting like making like 50, 60 grand that year probably to like nothing, which 60 grand for me back then was like life-changing money. Like, I was used to making like 20 grand, you know, $20,000-$25,000 a year as a server or something. So that was going to be a really like big, you know, pay raise, but that ended up failing. So that first business fails. I go to college for a semester. Immediately, like day one of college, I was like, yep, nope, this is not going to work. But mm-hmm. I tried to make it through a semester. I got about 2/3 of the way through the semester before I could not take it anymore. I got into an argument with my professor. He was like, the only reason you're at college is because you want to be successful. And I'm like, I do not need college. So we got into an argument. I ended up standing up right there in class, walking out, going down to the bursar's office, canceling all my classes and walking out. Then I got into the online, you know, fast forward a couple of jobs later, I get into the online marketing space, and my first business per se was actually an agency, an Instagram agency with, a business partner of mine doing Instagram services. And I kind of say I sold that one. We just really parted ways. There wasn't really much of a business there to sell. Basically I gave him the assets. I took some cash and I walked, right? It was, I don't know, 10, 20 grand, something like that. Nothing crazy. Right. There was no proprietary assets or anything like that. So that doesn't really count as a sold business. I don't really say that I sold that one. And then fast forward another year from there, the first business that I actually like created that was actually like legit, it was a business, it was freestanding, it had like departments and customers and everything like that, was actually a software company. We started called Social Info. And that was basically an Instagram and YouTube data analytics tool, tracking, hashtag research, like, you know, tracking stuff to help people grow. It was actually really, really cool. And I had one business partner on that. He did all the coding and the development. I did all the marketing and everything for that. And we actually grew that one pretty successfully. We got up to like almost 9,000 users on that platform. We charged, I think it started at 97. I think we did a beta round and then we did, I think it was like $97 a month after that for the premium and 37 for the basic or something. So it was like, it was pretty sweet. But like the software, like, it was not for me. I was like, nope, I do not want to deal with the headaches of that. It was a startup. We didn't have funding. And so I ended up, there was a business partner. He was considering coming in as a partner with us. I ended up selling to him. So I sold my half of the business, had a successful exit. That company's still up and going today. They still run that, at least to my knowledge. So that was kind of my first one, was a software one. Learned a lot about that. And then my second company was an agency. We did funnel builds for people outside of the ClickFunnels space. We called it, what do we call them? Lead generating websites or something like that, because we couldn't call them, like, nobody knew what a funnel was. Everybody wanted websites. So we had to come up with a creative name for it. But we sold anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 packages. Had a business partner on that one as well. And then my brother passed away last March in a helicopter crash, and that totally just wrecked my life. And so I ended up selling that one. And that one was actually, that was sweet. Like, we started that one right from the beginning. We hired and got into Sam Ovens Consulting and stuff. So we actually like had like departments and employees, and we had a, you know, like a customer service person, we had a funnel builder. So when I left, I actually sold out to an investor that took over and just walked in and took over there. And then my business partner, you know, went off and runs that now. So two businesses, one software, one agency that we've sold. But I've had two agencies. One of them I just kind of left. So.
Yeah, you're a busy guy. I really wonder how many six-figure agencies Sam Ovens is responsible for. That guy, like, he has such an amazing bunch of courses there, and like so many people have taken them, and so many people that I know that have six or seven-figure agencies have gone through a Sam Ovens course.
Dude, he's insane. Like when I first heard about Sam, you know, here's this weird guy that looks like he's tripping all the time, right? He looks like an alien. And I'm like, what does this guy know about business? And then you like watch his webinar and you're like, oh my gosh. And then you get into his courses and they're just the most insane, like ever. I mean, they're so in detail, so depth, in depth. And like Dan Henry, actually, you know, Dan Henry. Yeah. So Dan Henry and I are actually pretty good friends. But he was the one, him and Alex Becker, and I don't know Alex, but I know Dan pretty well. Yeah, and he was the one Alex, that was like,
he's a mentor of mine. He's a really smart guy for anyone listening.
Yeah. I love Alex. I just don't know him. But I was listening to Alex stuff and I was talking to Dan and he's like, dude, Sam, like Sam's legit, like listen to his stuff. And so I was like, all right, sweet. So he bought into it and 1000% worth it, dude. It's some next level stuff.
Absolutely. And so there's a bunch to chew off right there. Like, I'm really curious, what was it about the particular business models that really attracted you? So you said software just wasn't for you. Like, what about software just was not good to deal with that you jumped ship and went over to a different business model?
Yeah, I think it was more timing in my life than in anything else. I could definitely see myself getting into a software somewhere down the road. But I think that the timing of my life and also what the software was, like I'm a very, as cliche as it sounds, like I'm a very impact-driven person. But I mean that like to my actual core. Like the reason I don't have an agency now is not because the agencies weren't successful or that, you know, I can't go sign agency clients or anything like that, but it's like, I have to be teaching. Like, I mean, it's like my fuel. It's like what I just absolutely love to do. And so like the software company that we started was actually like, it was data, right? It was data analytics. It was tracking, you know, Instagram and YouTube growth. It was, you know, seeing hacks and trends, and like for geeky tech people and for people like for the person that was serving, it was great. But like, it was not, certainly not what I was passionate about doing. And the type of clientele that something like that attracted, especially as, you know, young without funding, and we didn't really know what we were doing. I just happened to be a good marketer and my friend happened to be a great coder, was a lot more of the like influencer, YouTube, wannabe, you know, YouTuber star type of person, not so much the business owner. And so rather than like trying to change directions on that, since that's where our customer base was, my new business partner, he's like, yeah, that's who I want to serve. And I didn't want to. So I think it was more timing and like in my own life and like kind of what the software was more than anything else. And I think now like just growing up, maturing, has really shaped who I am now. Like I have a coach, now that I didn't have before, like a really expensive, like mindset, personal development type coach. And like just working with her and like going through the whole transformation and like transition of like growing with the death of my brother. I mean, he's my older brother and my best friend. So I have like younger siblings, but he was my only older brother. And so like losing that, like really, really, really changed me, going through a lot of my own personal development stuff and like dealing with a lot of crap in my life, like, and going through that now, like landing on Think Different Theory, which is what I do now primarily. I think it's just more of growth, and you figure out what you want as you grow. And like some people start into agencies and that they love it and that's where they spend for the rest of their life, and that's awesome. Other people start in agencies because it's easy, right? I mean, it's relatively easy to make five figures, six figures, even seven figures with an agency relatively quickly if you're just focused. And so it's a really good starting point, and that's what I used it for. Was it got me into marketing, it allowed me to sell stuff, learn about products, learn about funnels, using other people's ad dollars, other people's budgets, and kind of managing and learning all about it. And then I was like, okay, I can actually do this for myself now. Now I'm going to go out and start my own company, like doing this. So,
yeah. And I want to get to your brother in a second, but I'm really curious as well what you think about partnerships. Because one thing I noticed about all those projects that you mentioned, pretty much every single one of those had a partner with that. Yeah. So, I mean, is that, you know, why are you choosing to have a partner in every single one of those? And what's your whole methodology behind finding the right partner and like your philosophy behind that?
It's a great question. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm probably not the best person to ask about partners because I would advise against partnerships. I don't have a partner now. So like my first partner, I think more than anything, it was like, I was a newbie and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I need a partner, right? Like it's kind of like one of those things. And so he had results, I had results. And so we're like, yeah, do you want to partner up and do something? You know what I mean? So like the first time was more of that. The software company was more of, I have no idea how to code. And so I didn't have, like I had some money in the bank, like I was able to fund, you know, getting it off the ground, but it's not like I had the amount of money to actually pay like a developing team to develop the app. And so he was willing to do it for free in exchange for ownership, right? And so once again, you know, timing, I was younger, you know, a little bit on everything. So I think that was the second reason. And then the third one was like, I was at a place in my life, and timing I think is big. The third one that my last agency that I had and the one that I actually sold was, I did not know what I wanted to do with my life, but I knew that I wanted to build businesses. And I knew that like learning how to build an actual business like itself was a really smart idea. Like that was a valuable thing to learn. And so I actually went to a really good friend of mine and I was like, hey, listen, I know you want to manage a 7-figure business, right? Like that's like kind of your skill set and what you're good at. I want to build it, but I don't want to have it long-term. So let's build this together. And then I'm going to sell out to you in 2 or 3 years once it's made a couple million bucks. Like that was the actual goal going into it. And because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And then, you know, my brother, you know, the brother happened and, you know, that kind of sped that process up. But like now I don't have a partner. I own 100% of every one of my ventures that I'm in. I'm pretty picky about that. So I'm not the best person to ask for advice, I'd say, on a partnership, but I would say that I think that there's pros and cons to both. And, you know, you've got to know whether or not you're building your dream business or whether or not you're willing to give up a lot of responsibility, but also a lot of control when you do bring a partner into the equation.
Yeah. And like, so what were the biggest downsides that you noticed during your partnerships? I mean, I'm not asking you to like roast someone here, but like, you know, with anonymous names, you know, what were some of the things that were just not good about these partnerships that you recommend people don't actually do a partnership now?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing about partnerships, and I'm not entirely opposed to partnerships, I think the biggest thing that I recognized in partnerships was most people don't know where you're going to butt heads down the road. Like you don't know what to plan for and what to expect unless you've done it. Right. So it's like some of the biggest areas where we had issues or that there was a downfall was like directions of the company. So it's like, oh yeah, you're going to be responsible. One of my business partners, for example, I was like, hey, you're responsible for customer service or like all customer fulfillment. I'm responsible for all sales. Right. And it was like, all right, sweet. But like, as far as like, what we're going to sell and how we're going to service those things and how customers are going to be taken care of. Like I didn't see eye to eye with that partner on certain things and they didn't see eye to eye with me. And really there was no right or wrong, right? It was just like, that's not what I wanted and that's not what she wanted. It was like, well, which one's right? You know what I mean? Or like in my first business, I wanted to go more the route of doing it one way. And he wanted to go the route of a totally different thing. I wanted to go, you know, more coursing and he wanted to go more agency. And I was like, well, that's not going to work. Right. So, you know, it's more of like just not seeing things eye to eye. And then also like, I'm a super strong and opinionated person, right? Like I have definite beliefs on where I want to go and what I want to do. And that's great if your partner is more than willing to take the back seat and be like in their zone of genius and trust you with that. But like most of my partners weren't. And that's, I mean, that, once again, doesn't make them bad. It's just like we butted heads and oftentimes like the people that you get along with most in life are people that actually make terrible business partners because you see eye to eye on, like I'm attracted to very strong-minded, opinionated individuals. Like a lot of my friends are that way, right? Well, those make terrible business partners when you're like that as well, right? And so my only recommendation, I think my biggest recommendation about, you know, a partner is just like get a coach that will help you through that. Because before I started Think Different Theory, I almost went into business with, do you know who Andrew Cruzy is?
Not sure.
Okay. So Andrew Cruz, he's a really like really smart dude. And like we were pretty good friends. I actually like, I flew out to California. We brainstormed our whole business. We were going to set the whole thing up. It was going to be awesome. But then we like went to our business coach and we're like, hey, we're going to start this partnership. Like, what do you think? And like, he laid it out and he's like, here are the core questions that you need to answer. And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, yeah, we're not going to be a good fit, you know, good fit for this. So I would just say like, learn from somebody who has actually built a business with a partner and like learn from their mistakes and like take advice from what to look for, because you might not realize that those things are going to come up, but chances are they're going to come up. And if you can answer those questions first, then you're not going to have problems, you know, like in the future with everything. And so like now I build audiences. I mean, that's what I'm good at. I've grown and managed over 6 million followers on social media. I've generated over $3 million in cash collected for my clients, $0 in paid advertising. How I deal with my clients and the level of, you know, stuff that I deal with my clients. I now, when I bring in people to support, I have a team of 4 now, right? So like, I have absolutely full control over how things get done, which is nice. But like, I also give my operations manager complete control over like a lot. Like I give her like, as long as you're within here and here, she has free range. But like when the crap hits the fan or when something goes wrong, I now have full entire say over how we're going to deal with the client or how we're going to make something right or the direction that we're going. And I like that control. Some people are okay with not having that. I'm not. It's just who I am.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've never really had a business partner. I've had partners on like smaller projects and everything like that. And hearing you say that is very interesting because I do definitely like having the control over over what happens. And like, certainly splitting the profit different ways can be a downside very quickly and very easily as well. I mean, and the only upside really is that you have someone else who potentially is going to be working as hard as you. But then I hear all the downsides of people who have a partner that they just kind of mentally check out after a while. And like, they don't have any like clause in a contract that's really holding them accountable to anything. Like a friend of mine, they have a supplement brand and the supplement brand is doing well, you know, it's making like $4 million a year or something like that. But one of the partners just kind of checked out. He just like is not interested anymore. And he still gets the same amount of profit from the company and they can't really do anything about it. So it's an unfortunate situation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's pros and cons to both. In my opinion, most of the time that the cons outweigh the pros. And so, you know, that's where I'm at. But I also look at Tony, you know, someone like Tony Robbins, who one of the greatest business minds and, you know, personal development minds of our time. And like almost all of his business, he has partners in, you know what I mean? So I think that like, I think there's a place for it if you know what you're doing and like you have the experience, but you know, first time through, if you're in the startup phase of things and you're trying to figure stuff out, I highly recommend going it alone unless there's a darn good reason you need a partner.
Absolutely. That could go in dating as well as business, I think, there.
Yeah.
It's a universal statement. So I want to talk about the elephant in the room here. And this is probably one of the most difficult things that I'm sure you've had to go through in your entire life, which is your brother. And I'm just really curious to hear, like, dealing with that whole process, what really did you learn about yourself or about, you know, something that made you stronger in a certain way? Like, what was that whole experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I appreciate you bringing it up. So my brother was 4 years older than I was, married, has a son and now a daughter, but baby on the way when he passed away. He was really big into like politics and he had a successful PR agency out in Denver. He worked with like huge names, like White House level, like names and, you know, stuff like that, you know, had clients that were like just huge. Like, I don't know if you know the Koch brothers, but like, I mean, like he had meetings with them. I mean, like these billionaire type people or whatnot. But like my brother wasn't a Republican. He wasn't a Democrat. Like he was just a person that just like wanted everybody to just come together and get along. And he treated everybody with like such an immense amount of respect. And like, even though he had very strong beliefs in things, as do I, like here was someone that brought all types of people together. And I learned a lot from that. And so when he died, I was at a point in my life where the year beforehand, I had just gone through this crazy personal development journey of my own. I had hit a point in my life where I was making a ton of money and then I crashed and like canceled all my clients, like refunded everything and like went through 7 months of like mental, like personal development, Joe Dispenza, Tony Robbins, quantum physics, mindset, like 6-7 months of like studying that kind of really transformed my life around. But like during that time, I became very, very focused on me and not in like an egotistical, like I'm so great way, but like I kind of like forgot that this whole other world of like helping people existed. And I like took this time just to focus on me, which is not a bad thing, right? I think everybody needs to go through that to a certain extent. But like when he died, like my entire life, like in an instant, instantaneously, like just everything shifted for me. Here I went from this entrepreneurial first person who all I wanted to do with my life was build a $100 million company. It was, how do I get rich? How do I get rich? How do I get rich? Because money equals impact. And I just want to scale, 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 grow, grow, grow. And that was it. And when he died, I mean, like I show up to his funeral. We get stuck in a bomb cyclone blizzard on the way out there, have to spend the night in an abandoned church. But like, you know, as we're trying to get out there, we get out there. Over 1,000 people had RSVP'd. All the airports were shut down. Everything's there. And still somehow like 650 people showed up, like drove out because my brother had made such an impact on these people's lives. And the second to last conversation that I had with my brother, we were scheduling a trip together. We were going to go down to South by Southwest down in Texas. And we were talking about our purpose here on this earth and like what we were ultimately driven for. And like my brother was a super smart, super intelligent, very, very well connected person. Like he could have gone on to build anything that he wanted, right? I mean, like done really anything. He had all the connections, he had everything there. And here he told me, he's like, dude, like the more and more I get into this life, the more I realize the importance of relationships, truly serving people like in a real capacity. And he goes, and all I want to do is make $200,000 to $300,000 a year, be a stay-at-home dad and just help people. Right. And like, so that was my second to last conversation that I ever had with him before he died. And like that stuck with me a lot. And then I see that and then come to his funeral and have like Democrats, Republicans, rich, poor, gay, straight, black, white. I mean, like every different type of person you could think of was there at this. He was big into the foster care system, right? His foster children were there, like the parents of the foster children, you know, getting up there, sharing how much he had touched his lives. And like at that moment, I was like that right there is at the core of everything. And I shifted from being an entrepreneur first to being someone that like wants to just truly massively making an overwhelming amount of impact, because like, I know how to make money. Like I'm not super rich, right? Like I make great money. I'm not like loaded yet. Right. I'm sure I will be someday. But like, to me, like at a certain point, once you make X number of dollars, your life really doesn't change a whole lot. Right. Like you're not going to like, yeah, sure. A nicer car. I drive a super nice car now. Right. Nicer house. I wouldn't even buy a house if I could have, like if I wanted to now, because I like live in an apartment. So like, what does more money bring other than amplifying the mission and the vision of like what you're trying to do? And so my brother died like 2 months after I started this podcast, Think Different Theory. And that like changed the trajectory of my life in that sense. And so it really, really shifted me to go, okay, I've got to really know who I am. I've got to really understand what I believe. I've got to really like put my priorities in place first. Number one priority in life, my relationship with God. Number two priority of life, my relationship with my girlfriend and, you know, wife when that comes. Third priority in life, family. Fourth priority in life, now we can talk about business, right? And so I went back and I, you know, was able to make right a lot of wrongs that were, you know, a lot of hurt that was in my family. Like a lot of people, I feel like they go through these life experiences and they, you know, a death of a loved one or something tragic. And they're like, oh yeah, family's so important. Like everything's already come together. And then like 3 months, they forget it, right? It's like, it's just back to normal. And like, I was very convinced not to let that happen. And so, you know, I have a pretty amazing relationship with most of my family now, you know, where it wasn't really great before. I mean, I still have hiccups, obviously. My relationships with like my loved ones and like people that are close to me and investing in my friends, like I have a core group of people. And because now my life is in a really good place, now I can go and pour into other people. And so everything that I've done, like selling the agency, changing my coaches, changing who I hang out around, changing, you know, the fact that I do less speaking now to kind of build over here before I go back into it, my messaging, what I'm about, how I present, all of that changed to now be in alignment with who I really am and the mission that I have, which is to go out and help people understand first and foremost who they are and what they believe. Secondly, why they believe that. And then third, helping them get the tools and the resources to be able to go out there and live the best, like their best life, and to become the best version of themselves. And I believe that for most people, entrepreneurship skills, or at least basic money skills and sales and networking and things like that, are the skills that, you know, everybody needs just to have a good life and to go out and live the best version of themselves. And so that's really, I think that's probably the biggest change that I went through personally, is going through a tremendous, like just this literal foundational earth-shattering crack of my life, to now repositioning that to actually getting focused on what matters and going and living in accordance with that.
That's kind of long. Some powerful clarity. Very, very powerful, man. And also, like, during that whole process, you said you're just consuming all of the personal development stuff, the Joe Dispenza, the Tony Robbins, like, all really great stuff. Like, I'm curious if there was maybe one or two big realizations or big mental shifts that came through your big intense period of 7 months of studying this kind of stuff. Like, what were, like, the real nuggets there that you think everyone can really benefit from it, you know, whether they've gone through something really difficult or not?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I'd say there's two of the biggest nuggets, probably like the most life-changing, fundamentally, like, what? You know, like, you read it and you're like, that's how that works? Like, moments for me was, number one, when I learned about how the subconscious mind worked. And I remember actually Alex Becker, he was talking about, I watched a video from him two and a half, three years ago. And he was talking about how, like, 90% of, like, your actions are, like, predetermined before you ever take them. And I was like, no, they're not, dude. Like, I'm all about free choice. You can do whatever you want, blah, blah. No concept of what he was talking about. And then I, like, learned about the subconscious mind and how by the time you're 30 years old, anywhere from 80 to 90% of everything that you do is controlled by your subconscious mind. So this is your belief patterns, how you think, how you act, how you talk, what you do, what you wear, what you eat, what you think, the computers you buy, the phones you will buy, like, the actions you will take, how fast you drive. Everything is, like, 80 to 90% predetermined based on what your subconscious mind is controlling. And when I realized that, I was like, so you mean to tell me that in my conscious actions and in my conscious mindset, I'm only consciously aware of 10% of, like, what I'm doing? I was like, all right, well, let me think about this. If I lined up 90 people on one side of things, on one side of a rope, and 10 people on the other side of a rope, and I told them to go out a tug of war, if they're equal people, the 90 people will win every single time. It is impossible for those 10 people to win, right? And I'm like, even if these were, like, bodybuilder, like, if there was, like, 90 of me, I'm not, like, that big of a person. I'm pretty skinny, right? But I'm fairly strong. If there was, like, 90 of me on one side and, like, 10 bodybuilders on the other, the 90 people are still going to win, right? And so I'm like, okay, so whatever my subconscious mind is programmed to be and, like, programmed to tell me, like, that's what's going to control my life. And I had this, like, light bulb moment that's like, oh, when people say, like, you can literally reprogram your mind to default to success, that's what they're talking about, right? It's like, if you can program your subconscious mind to do and act and think and believe in a way in accordance with success, in however you define success, then by default, 90% of your life will be that way. And I was like, light bulb moment. So that means you can tell me, oh, if I can program my mind to be rich, I can program my mind to serve, I can program my mind to be a good boyfriend, to be a good husband, to be a good father. Like, if I know the attributes of what those things look like, I just have to figure out how to program my subconscious mind and my entire life will change. That was the first biggest nugget, one of the most life-changing moments of my life when I realized that.
And really on that one, like, what are the things that you do to program the mind? Do you have, like, a meditation practice, or are you, like, writing down affirmations? Like, what's the actual action steps that you took to go undertake this process?
Yeah. And that's a great question. So that actually leads me right into point number two, which was kind of the second big realization, because that question right there was the exact question I asked. I was like, oh my gosh. All right. I know I need to do this. Now, how do I actually go out and do this? And I actually wrote, it's called the Mind Shift Playbook. It's a playbook about this. It's about 70 pages long. It's broken down into five categories. Do you mind if I, like, drop the link? It's free. I'm not selling
anything.
Oh,
that's all good. I saw that on your website. So that's on josh40.com. Is that, or thinkdifferenttheory.com?
Yeah. thinkdifferenttheory.com/playbook. If you go to thinkdifferenttheory, or actually it's a front page, thinkdifferenttheory.com, but /playbook will actually take you to the directly to the landing page. But basically I was like, all right, cool. If I know that that programming the subconscious mind is possible, now I need to ask myself the question of what controls the subconscious, right? Like that's kind of like the next step. And so that led me down this entire path of learning about identity. And at the core of everything that we do, everything is controlled by our identity. The reason that I own an iPhone, not an Android, is because of the identity associated with it. The reason I, you know, wear Nike instead of Adidas, that disgusting brand of Adidas, is because I like, right, Nike, right? Like, I have that identity to that. The reason that I spend my money where I do all comes back to the identity, which is, identity by definition is your belief about yourself. All right. So I realized this. I was like, okay, cool. What I believe I am, I will do. And I am like, really, really think about that. If I believe I am worthy of $1 million, if I believe that I am a millionaire, I will by default go and start to act like a millionaire, right? If that's like, think about it. How many times have you ever said something and you're like, that's just not who I am, right? I don't want to do that. That's just not who I am, right? Exactly. It's like, that's not who you are. So you're not going to do that action over here. You're going to do this action over here because you fundamentally core at a subconscious level, you believe that to be true about yourself. So once again, going back to the 90-10 split, if 10% of you says, I will be a millionaire. I'm going to manifest it into existence. But 90% of you, your subconscious goes, you're not worth it. You can't do that. Like blah, blah, blah. Like guess what? 90% beats 10% every single time. And so I started becoming fascinated with this idea of identity of like, all right, if I believe something to be true about myself at a subconscious level, then I will go and act in accordance with that, right? And so for me, like the actions I started to take, and I highly recommend everybody go and read the Mindshift Playbook if you want to learn more about this, but I'll just run through the premise real quickly is, first and foremost, I have to understand like, what is it that I'm believing now? Like I have to get aware, right? Like you can't solve a problem if you don't know what the problem is. And so the first step, like from a very practical standpoint, is I literally got a little notebook that could fit into my pocket and I just started to ask myself, and this is step number one of the Mindshift Playbook, the question of why. Like, why do I do everything that I do? And so like when I'd wake up in the morning and I'd like grab the shirt, I'd be like, oh, why? And I'd like write it down. And I'd be like, oh, like why did I eat that for lunch? Why do I drive that car? Why do I want to make a lot of money? Like what? And I would just write down like page after page. It is painstaking. Like it seems like super trivial and like over the top process right at the beginning. But like I did it for a week and I had this entire list and I started bringing stuff out of my subconscious mind and into my conscious awareness of like why I was doing certain things. And I was like, oh, okay. So like now I know why I drive what I drive, why I eat what I eat, what I do what I do, why I follow who I follow. And it's like, oh, I follow Russell Brunson, not only because he teaches me money, but because I like his morals. I like his beliefs. Oh, the reason I don't, you know, oh, the reason I'm not a Democrat is because of blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So I just started like making all these observations. And so now it's like, okay, great, cool. This is where I'm at right now, right? Like this is who I am now. And you don't judge yourself about it. You're going to find some stuff in there that you really hate about yourself, right? You're going to be like, ah, crap, why do I do that, right? Like, ah, man, why do I tell myself these stories about money or, you know, why do I, you know, believe these things? You can't judge, right? You just like observe that. And now it's like, okay, great. What do you want now? Like you actually have to go and get clear because now we have to go and start reprogramming our mind. And I think this is a really crucial step that I think a lot of people make. Like, it's like, okay, you can meditate, you can manifest, you can go through rituals, you can do all those things. And I encourage you to do that. But I don't encourage you to do any of that until you figure out exactly what you want first, because that literally doesn't help outside of maybe meditation. Meditate. Yeah. And meditation does, I'd say. It helps you clear your mind. But like, I gave this example earlier. Like, I want you to think about a basketball team, right? Or a football team. Like, what do they want? Every season, when the season starts, what's their goal? It's like, well, they want to win a championship, right? Like they want to, that's everything is revolved around that. That is the goal. That is where they're going, right? And so when you look at, I'm a huge New England Patriots fan, right? So like everything that the Patriots organization does is to go win a championship. You look at the Patriots versus the Browns. It's like, not even like, I can't believe they're in the same league, right? Like how, because these people have a super clear goal on what it is that they're after and they have a plan to go and get there. So that's step number three. It's like, okay, first off, I'm just going to start to bring stuff into my awareness. I have to actually believe that my subconscious mind has power. And how do I know that my subconscious mind has power? I bring stuff into my conscious awareness to realize that this is actually happening. Then I go and I say, okay, what is it that I'm after? And I will sit down and I will draw out my dream life. Like, how much money do I want to make? Why? Right? Where do I want to live? Why? Who do I want to be with? Why? Why do I want this? Why? And I get super clear on that and then I justify it. I make sure that it's because it's what I want and it's not what somebody else is telling me. It's not what my parents want. It's not what my girlfriend wants. It's not what, you know, people are telling me. It's what I want. And then I say, okay, great. Now that I know what that is, now what is the path to actually go out and get there? Like what is a way to actually go out and do that? And so you start like actually looking at those things. And when you start to see those things, you're going to start to realize that there are stories that you are telling yourself about that path. So if you go out and say, I want to be a millionaire, right? And I said this, I'm like, I want to be a millionaire. And then I go, okay, what's the path to it? Immediately when I asked myself that question, I was met with this, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, that takes forever. And it's like way tons of false stories, all these beliefs that are like hitting me, right? And I'm like, oh, all these stories, what are those stories? Those stories are beliefs, all right? If I believe a story, I'm believing it. And that's a story about myself. So that's part of my identity. So the stories that I'm telling myself are the beliefs that I have about myself. That's my identity. That's literally the definition of identity. And so I'm like, cool. If I know that I need to change my identity, then I need to change the stories about myself. Well, how do I know what stories to change? Your whole life is built up of stories about yourself. You can't change them all at once. So like, where do you start? Well, you start by getting super clear on where you want to go and then seeing what stories pop up and then identifying that story and go, okay, I know that story is false. Now, how do I go and change that story? And then you start to change that story. And when you can change that story, once that story has changed, now your identity has shifted in that area. And now you can move on to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Such a powerful process, man. And just to illustrate this too, I've spent a lot of work going through stuff like this. And I think that especially when it comes to the world of dating, like the person who is your partner, it is such a big factor in your overall happiness in life. Like people just end up with the wrong person and it can make them wildly miserable, or if there was the right person, it can make them wildly happy, right?
Right.
And for me, I didn't really start dating the people that I wanted to until I got really clear on exactly right. who that was. Before that, it was just like, hey, like, I guess we've been together for a couple months. Now you're my girlfriend, I guess. And then like, it just kind of goes on. And it, you know, 6 months later, you realize that you're absolutely not a right fit for this person. But once I started doing some of these exercises and getting super, super clear, and like this last time, especially, like my current girlfriend is like literally, like I have a list of like probably 12 or so character traits of like my perfect ideal partner. And I spent a long time just really refining this, getting clear on it, meditating on it. And like, I know that's exactly what I wanted. And my current girlfriend literally ticks off all 12 of those things.
That's
like,
amazing.
To a T. And I wouldn't even recognize it if I didn't know exactly what that was, right? And so like, if you're not getting super, super clear on what it is that you want, like you're not going to know what the little signs are to recognize what that is, to bring that into your life, right? So I mean, I'm a huge proponent, like bring that to your dating life, bring that to your business, like whatever it is that you actually want to manifest in your life, like whether you call it, you know, manifestation, if you're spiritual, or whether you're just like, I need to get clear on exactly what I want so I can actionably do the things that I need to do to bring it into my life.
Yeah, you have to know where you're going. You got to have a map. You got to have some form of vision. There's the old proverb that says, without a vision, the people perish, right? Like, if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, awesome, Josh. This has been a really valuable episode. Really good to hear your insights and all your powerful things that you've learned and been implementing. If people want to learn more about you online, where's the best place for them to do that?
My podcast, thinkdifferenttheory.com. If you want to go right to the podcast, thinkdifferenttheory.com/listen. That's going to be the best place. I have 200 and I think it's like 17 episodes on there. We've interviewed some really cool people on there. We've had Russell Brunson on there. We've had some other kind of some big players on there. So that'd probably be the best place. And then Instagram is the best place to like get in touch with me. Like if you want to like DM me or comment, I reply to all my comments. I try to reply to all my DMs. Sometimes it's a little backlogged, but I try to keep up with everything there. So probably those two places. And then June 1st, we're actually doing a really cool workshop about building audiences. So we didn't really get into it, but like my background and like what I do now is like I help people build wildly profitable audiences. And so like I said, grown and managed over 6 million followers all organically, done over $3 million in cash collected once again for clients, once again, all organically. And on May 25th, registration opens for a June 1st launch date. We're doing a 5-day workshop called How to Build a Wildly Profitable Audience of Engaged Loyal Customers that are immediately ready to buy your product and service. And that's at josh40.com/workshop. So just my first name, my last name.com/workshop. That'd be the best place there.
Heck yeah, Josh. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. And guys, if you're looking for any of those links that Josh mentioned there, I'll put those in the show notes at dannycarlson.co/podcast. And if you haven't already, go leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. There's actually a really easy way to do that. You go to ratethispodcast.com/DC, and that'll take you straight to a page where it just opens up whatever apps on your phone that you listen to the podcast, and you go leave a 5-star review there. And if it's not nice. 5 stars, I usually just go cry myself to sleep. Every single time, 4-star or 3-star or something like that, then I get really, sad. So don't do it. Leave a 5-star review. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for joining us on the Danny Carlson Podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit dannycarlson.co.